Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. I am Morenci. Let's do this thing as we kickstart another week. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and many other platforms that we're on. So it's Monday. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got breaking news as far as the UFC is concerned. And I say breaking news in which Dana White has been very adamant and incredibly persistent in not tapping out, pardon the pun, when it comes to UFC 249. Now, this event was supposed to be in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is closed. This event was supposed to be Tony Ferguson against Khabib, a much-anticipated fight between these two dudes, like the fifth time, literally the fifth time that they were supposed to fight. And of course, this virus wreaks havoc. Dana White was adamant that the card would go on. Khabib flew back to Russia a couple of weeks ago and is now stuck in Russia. Yet, I think Khabib could get out of Russia if needed. Yet, Khabib said the other day he was never even told of where to go. Now, Justin Gaethje has accepted the fight against Tony Ferguson. Dana White announces that the fight is on, the card is on, and it's going to be held somewhere on planet Earth. As you know, it's kind of funny and stuff, but it really isn't. Like what do you, what, you know, I've been kind of in the minority, actually. A lot of people are critical of the UFC for trying to put an event on right now. And I brought this up with Cam on Game Time Decisions. There's a level of hypocrisy with people in the media and fans that all, like, you know, like, put it this way. If you were on Twitter on Saturday night or Sunday night tweeting about WrestleMania and enjoying WrestleMania, then there is no difference between WrestleMania and a UFC event. and WrestleMania was taped. All right, WrestleMania wasn't live, and WrestleMania was minimized, basically. You know, they only had a couple of guys in the room at a time, and they taped it like that. Like, that's, it's, you know, what difference does it make if you're wrestling and entertainment, so to speak? You're still hitting each other. You're still rolling around. There's still sweat. There's still, like, you know what I mean? You know, fluids, et cetera. You know, so I don't really get the moral outrage. I get it. If you want to have moral outrage, fine. I can understand it, but have it for everything then. Like, I don't see people flipping out every Wednesday night on TV when All Elite Wrestling's on TV. That's not like tape. These guys are doing it weekly. Like, they're shooting like Wednesday show now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're performing. They're doing their thing. It doesn't mean the world stops right now. Right? And if you're able to do something now, listen, we can get into the safety aspect of it and whether they should be doing this. So my deal really isn't, it isn't ethically and morally, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Although I can get it. Luke Thomas, who covers mixed martial arts very well, I saw him tweeting and he said, yeah, not exactly the time that people are going to want to spend $70 on a pay-per-view. You know, we could be up to 25% unemployment and these guys are looking for $70. Yet at the same point in time, people are looking to be entertained. They're looking for some sort of event. Now, my beef isn't like morally or ethically or anything like that, but it sort of is in the sense that obviously something is off if you won't even tell people where the fight is. That's my bigger deal. That's my bigger deal. Like, my deal isn't, oh, you're putting this card on and stuff. Although, part of me does question, and a lot of me actually, not just a part of me, but a lot of me questions ESPN airing this. ESPN is owned by Disney, right? It's like ABC, Disney, Disney Corporation, and people were somewhat surprised that they got involved with the UFC in the first place with ESPN. Yet, let's not pretend ESPN is some sort of beacon of pureness, all right? And, you know, because part of me is thinking, you know, I'm just kind of surprised that Disney Corporation hasn't told, like, ESPN, hey, listen, we keep seeing rumors about you guys trying to hold a card. Just, you know, shut it down for a little while. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about money. And the UFC owners paid $4 billion. ESPN paid $400 million a year for the rights. And that's all they all care about, right? Like, you know, when I say this about ESPN and the UFC, they put Greg Hardy on their cards. The first ESPN card, they had Greg Hardy on it. Like, so it's not like ESPN is, oh, you know, well, we can't have Greg Hardy on our card. No, they promoted him. You know what I mean? Like, there, so we can't pretend that ESPN has some sort of. So my deal is, though, so where are you holding this card? Supposedly Dana White told the fighters where it is. And, you know, I guess it's all what? That's going to be the element of surprise. Now, clearly, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, maybe it's going to break. Where the fight is, you know, we're now like 12 days away. We're less than 2 weeks away from the venue. It's an incredibly unique situation, to say the least. There's been, you know, there's been a lot of history in the UFC where there's been late changes to the card and guys have accepted weird matchups on short notice. And props to Tony Ferguson, because he's got a hell of a lot more to lose in all this. Now, for the record, Ariel Helwani tweeted that the West Coast of the United States, is where the fight is going to be. West Coast of the United States, like, I don't know. Like, it's not going to be California. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, he's saying he doesn't even think there's going to be NFL or college football. Now, there are no fans in this, but I doubt it's California. Is it Arizona? You know, Arizona has been pretty Arizona has been pretty slow in taking coronavirus very seriously. Is it Arizona? I doubt. You know, Arizona is still a little bit mainstream. Like, even though the governor has been shaky in Arizona, like the mayor of Phoenix has shut things down, there'd be challenges. So I don't know, like maybe like New Mexico or like some random weird state that they've never gone to. Utah. I'm not really in the business of guessing. We've never hired. I don't know. Like basically who's insane enough to like license this? I think is a good. I think that's a good question. Now I'm just going to look up like what states haven't shut everything down. What states are not in lockdown now? They're becoming less and less right now. They're becoming less and less. I know that. Because I know, you know, I remember a couple of days ago it was like 15 to 17 states, and I think now we're down to about 5 or 6 only. So, yes, we're down to, and not every state is all out. Like Arizona is voluntary. Arizona is voluntary. You know what I mean? Like Arizona is aware of the problem, and like it's a political thing, guys. It's sad that it is because people's lives are at stake. It shouldn't be about blue and red, but it seems like a lot of the red states, the Republican states, like they don't, they seem to be less serious in attacking it or believing how serious things can get. And it's going to backfire on them because their states are going to end up with it down the road. Like, right. So right now, as of now, in which there are no stay at home orders at all, like nothing, like not, there's nothing. North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Iowa. So I bring this up only because of the UFC, right? So they're saying West Coast. I don't know. Like, you know, is it California? Is Newsom really like going to say, well, since there's no fans, we'll do it? I doubt it. You know, we'll get to Gavin Newsom's comments later. I doubt it. But so just for the record, so North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Iowa have no stay-at-home orders. So it seems to me that if you were the UFC, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Iowa would all be in play to have an event, wouldn't they be, if they're open? Like, this seems like something Arkansas would jump at. Live from Little Rock, Arkansas, Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. The thing is, the whole reason Khabib is not on the card, is because Dana White told him 99.9% were positive that it will not be in the United States. That's why he flew to the Middle East / Russia. And me and Lou talked about this. I've been talking a lot about this fight. And listen, Khabib didn't leave to run away. And Khabib would fight, right? So, you know, I thought at the time and I said at the time, well, Khabib clearly, Khabib clearly was under the belief and was told. That the fight was going to be in Russia or the Middle East. And that's exactly what happened. They thought the fight was going to be in Russia or the Middle East. And you hear Khabib's story on Instagram, and he says, I was told the fight was going to be in the Middle East. I was in the United States. I flew, I think he said, to Dubai. And then in Dubai, they like closed the airport, essentially, while he was there, literally. Like he had a rapid fire choice to make type thing. Like he was in Dubai, and basically they were like, you've got to, you know, you're either going to Russia or you're staying here. So make up your mind. The airport's closing in an hour type thing for good. Like for real, there's shutdowns coming. So he said, all right, I'll go to Russia. And I think Dana thought he could have the card in Russia or the Middle East, but that fell apart on him. But the whole thing about Khabib not being the champion and this is a title fight and stuff, it's garbage. We all know Khabib is the champion. Doesn't mean that Tony Ferguson's not a badass, but we all know that Tony Ferguson's Tony Ferguson's a badass. And, you know, Ferguson has a lot to lose here. And already, listen, Ferguson's already 36 years old. He's kind of flaky. He's a good fighter, but he's kind of flaky. And the longer this goes on that he doesn't fight Khabib, it's definitely an advantage for Khabib. But, and Khabib's already a 3-1 favorite against him. So it's not like he needs an extra advantage. You know what I mean? But my point is, you know, Ferguson and Khabib is supposed to fight forever. It's a chance for Tony Ferguson to become a real champion and not just an interim champion and cement his legacy. And, you know, credit to him, because Justin Gaethje could beat him, right? Like, Gaethje could beat anybody. You know, he could also lose to anybody. And I think Tony Ferguson will beat him. That's my initial gut instinct. It's a lot of, you know, you got to go with your gut instinct when it comes to handicapping fights. And Gaethje's fight IQ is something to be desired, to say the least. He's not a smart fighter. He's a headhunter, and he can knock you the F out. Gaethje comes out firing, man, but he leaves himself very vulnerable. He's nowhere near as dynamic as Tony Ferguson is. And it's short notice for him. I don't know. Where the hell are they even flying to? Where the hell is this fight? I can tell you, doesn't really matter where it is. There are odds for this fight right now. And Tony Ferguson he's in the -175 to -180 range, depending on the book. And let's check in with FanDuel and see if they've posted a number yet for this fight. I'm assuming they have. And they have it at 152. Yeah, all right. So FanDuel's got it posted. 152, Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, +130. I'll tell you now, in this fight, I think that's fair value, actually, at 152. FanDuel's got a good number up right now for Ferguson. Ferguson's much more dynamic. He's a smart fighter. And I think Ferguson's one of these deals that could pretty much beat anybody except Khabib. Gaethje's good, but he's not, you know what I mean? He's, you know, props to him for accepting the fight on short notice. Yeah, my money will be on Tony Ferguson if this fight happens. And listen, it'll be cool if it does happen. And that's the whole thing, too. Like, you know, I almost want to check on Twitter and keep notes here. We're taking names, so to speak, as far as media people who are very, very against the UFC and have taken pot shots at the UFC for holding this event. Then in two Saturdays from now, are you going to be watching the event and tweeting about it and acting like it's all cool, right? Like, you got to stick to your guns. That's one thing. You know me, I'll stick to my guns, but I'm not upset about them trying to hold the card. I think it's stupid. Like, let me clarify that. I'm not upset by it. Morally, I'm not, whatever. Like I said, who cares? They're holding wrestling events. What difference does it make? But I think it's stupid. I think after all this weight and considering everything that's going on in the world, no one's going to hate on the UFC for shutting this down right now. Number two, if I was the UFC, it does look bad, and it is stupid. And if someone does get coronavirus, like, you know what I mean? There's just a lot of things about it that are dumb that you're forcing it. It's just forced. Like, you know, I've been in the music business and even in this business. Sometimes some shows aren't meant to be. You know what I mean? And this is one of these deals where the show's just not meant to be if you're the UFC. I mean, you won't even announce where the hell it is, and we're less than 2 weeks away. I mean, what are you holding back? And it's such a critical fight. It's such an important fight. It's such a big fight. You know, we weren't hyped for Tony Ferguson versus Gaethje. We were hyped for Khabib versus Ferguson. Like, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, at this point, I would say, you know what? Put Gaethje on a card. Let him fight someone else besides Ferguson and put a card on if you really want. And I would wait for this. Now, the thing is, there's always something when it comes to these guys, is Khabib is in Russia, and oh yeah, Ramadan is coming up. And listen, I'm no religious expert when it comes to Ramadan, but I know it's pretty long, right? It's not one day. And the gist of it is, Khabib won't be able to fight until August. He doesn't do anything. He's very, very religious. All right, so Renzi Unfiltered continues. Get on a grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morenci Unfiltered continues the podcast. I am Morenci. Get on the grid, a sports grid. We appreciate you joining us. Shout out to Matthias in Germany tuning in to the live taping of this podcast. We got McInnes in the Maritimes as well, as the Ragelution is worldwide. So speaking of worldwide and speaking of sports, we're all, you know, it's funny. Over the weekend was one of the first times it sort of really kicked in. I was like, man, I miss betting. And I don't mean like people are like, oh, you can bet on the Belarusian handball or whatever. And I don't mean that. You know, I'm not that much of a degenerate as much as I used to be, in a sense. I'm not like dying to bet just for the sake of betting on something. I meant I miss like capping an NBA game all day. I miss like, you know, the rush of betting $500 on a game and you know, that, all right, I got three games tonight. What's going to happen? The anticipation leading up to 7 o'clock for tip-off and, you know, just the whole process of it all. That's, you know, that's sort of what I've missed. And listen, eventually sports will be back in some way. In different ways, it'll be back. Now, this is where we're going with this. We've got some news. The British Open has been canceled. And I say the British Open, I'm talking about the Open, they call it. The Open as far as their golf tournament. So the British Open has been canceled, but the PGA announced, listen, God bless them. They're being positive. They're trying to, and they have to. Like, they have to have a schedule made. They can't just, like, not sit. They can't do anything. But it doesn't mean I think it's going to happen. But they want to play, like, the PGA Championship in August. And they're going to rattle off a bunch of majors. The Masters will be in November now. The Ryder Cup and the U.S. Open would be, like, back-to-back weeks. Hey, listen, if you're a golf fan, you know, and golf is back, then it's going to be badass. It's going to be over the top. Yet, I'm telling you now, I'm not so sure, like, it's going to happen. So, the PGA Championship is now set for August 6th through August 9th. TPC Harding Park. The thing is, Harding Park is in California. I didn't know this, but Cam does. And we talked about this on Game Time Decisions. California is a state. Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, said over the weekend he doesn't even think there'll be football in his state. So I don't see how they're going to have a golf tournament as big as a PGA Championship on August 6th, 9th in California, but that's their plan. The U.S. Open is now planned for September 17th through 20th. The Ryder Cup is like the following week. September 25th through 27th, and then the Masters would be in November instead of April. So the Masters would be November 12th through 15th. And in case you're wondering, yes, indeed, they would play the Masters again 5 months later. So there would be two Masters in a span of 5 months, which would be pretty cool if it happened. The Masters has been played 83 times since the inaugural event in 1934 and has finished 82 times in April. The only Masters that didn't was the first one, which ended in late March. The event was canceled from 1943 through 1945 due to World War II. Like, this is some of the challenges that we're facing. And still, like, I don't have time to argue with these morons, but I got a dude on Twitter, like, just earlier today. Guy wants to bet me, like, it's a joke. Oh, I bet you more people die of the flu. It's like, yeah, well, whatever, dude. Like, if you want to, he goes, I still don't buy this. All right, well, don't buy it. You know, I can hear sirens, like, passing me as we speak right now. There's over 10,000 people that have died, and we're just getting in, like, I don't know. You could not buy it if you want, but I just hope you're not that much of an idiot that you're giving it to other people, because I don't really feel sorry for these stupid people that, like, you know, think it's a big joke and they get it. I don't feel sorry for them. But if these people are like morons and they're walking around and they're just giving it to other people, then they're real jackasses. Like, then they're real jackasses. Right? So, you know, the fact that, oh, you know, people, oh, I don't really buy it still. It's media hype, et cetera. Yeah, because they're shutting down. They shut down the Masters due to the media hype. Because the guys that run Augusta and the Masters are totally the type of guys, right? They're big pinko commies, the guys that run the Masters. Yeah, I must have missed that. I must have missed Ocasio-Cortez. I didn't know she runs the Masters now. Because, yeah, the Masters people in Georgia, the same country club that basically didn't allow African-Americans or women until they decided to kill two birds with one stone by putting Condoleezza Rice in as a member. So you hear what I'm saying? One of the most racist golf clubs and uptight golf clubs in the history of the world. they shut things down because it's just the flu, right? They shut things down. Wall Street's closed right now because it's just the flu. And that's the other thing, too. People, this is all part of a big conspiracy. Like, who wins in this conspiracy, jackass? What, a couple of ventilator companies? What, Walmart's doing all right, I guess. Like, so, yeah, they shut the world down so Walmart stock will go up and Skype stock will go up. Like, it's just, you know, the stupidity. So, you know, and, we, you know, this is where the stupidity's all around, which on Saturday, if you guys don't know, on Saturday, there was a conference call with 13 sports commissioners and President Donald Trump. And they were talking about the future of sports and, you know, when they can get back and, you know, when they can start playing again. And basically, it was Donald Trump who was telling the commissioners, you need to get back to start playing. So I'll tell you right now, it's not as if though there's any government hindrance on these leagues to play. Like, you know what I mean? And look, that's why Dana White is so adamant on going forward. He's buddies with Donald Trump. He speaks to Trump. Trump wants events going on. If there are events going on, it makes a sense of normalcy, right? And Trump basically saying the same thing about the economy with sports. He's like, they need to get back. They're not like designed not to play. They have to play. And they need to get back to work, et cetera. So basically, you've got Trump was telling the commissioners that he wants fans back and it's going to be back to normal sooner rather than later. And he told Goodell that NFL will be fine and there'll be fans and everything's going to be back to normal and life's going to be great in America, et cetera. But from what I understand, the gist of it is after – the commissioners basically were like, I don't know what the hell this guy's talking about. You know, he can say one thing. Donald Trump, if it was up to Donald Trump, man, there'd be NBA basketball on Easter weekend, right? Which, whatever. But the NBA, they're the ones that got to deal with it. And they're private leagues. Like, they're private entities. They can't be forced to go back. So it's an interesting dynamic. Usually it's like the other way around. You know what I mean? Usually it'd be like a sports league or a company would go to the president and say, listen, I know everything's shut down, but we're sports and we're important. And, you know, can you give us the go ahead to play and we'll play? Right? That's not the case. It's almost like the children are more responsible than the parents in this instance, where Trump is telling the sports commissioners, go ahead and play, get back to work as soon as you can right now. And the commissioners, like Adam Silver, you can read between the lines with this stuff. Silver asked, how'd the call go? And he goes, oh, thanks for his time. And then that was great. And then he basically stated, but we're going to have to listen to the professionals on this. As in, because Trump says go back to play, doesn't mean we're going to go back and play right away. We've been through this. I don't know how many of you tuning in right now and listening to this, what your personal opinion is. You can always fire me off a tweet at Sports Rage about whether sports are going to be back or not. But more and more and more and more, I'll tell you, they will not be. And I don't say this with any happiness. I don't say it with any glee. Trust me, my life is better if there's sports. Like people, people are pretty understanding. People in the early stages of this, people would get mad at me for like predicting that the doom and gloom that was about to come in the sports world. And I was right. I wish I wasn't. Like it's one of these cases where I really wish I was wrong. But like, let's just be real, guys. You know, we're going to get through April into May. I know that people are getting impatient. And it's going to be tough. And I'm looking out my window right now, and I see New York City and New Jersey, all right? Both of which have been hit the hardest. Like basically, there's like 4,000 deaths in New York City or New York State, which is, you know, in the New York City area, and like up near to 1,000 Jersey, which is kind of the same thing. Like they're intertwined, the two states. So like it's as bad as it can be. And today is like one of the first days that it's sunny out. It's not like extra warm, but it's sunny out. And the weather in New York City has been awful. Just like, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, you're in the middle of this virus, the pandemic. Every freaking day has been dark and gloomy and rainy. It's just, and cold, like unseasonably cold. Like really unseasonably cold. And now it's sunny out. You know, it was a nicer day and it's, you know, it was sunny out. And I look out the window and I see a ton of people out. And it's amazing to me, the people that I always see out in times like this, it's always people that are supposedly healthy people. Like there's a ton of joggers, man, but they're running in packs. Like there's a ton of them. And I'm thinking to you, what part of this don't you guys get? And that's the thing, like people are stupid and it's starting to anger me a bit. Like I can't lie, it's angering me. Like these, I see right now, I'm looking out the window right now. All right, I see a couple walking, holding hands. And they just passed another couple in the opposite direction, holding hands. Here's another two dudes walking like 2 feet away from each other. For some reason, there's a dude on a bicycle who's like slowing down near them and not even speeding past everybody. It's constant. Like, guys, because it's sunny out right now, doesn't mean that you're safer suddenly. Right? People, oh, it's nice. I gotta go out like I don't, you know, and it doesn't mean you can't go out like these people. Like, go out for a walk on a side street. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get air every day, and I don't really endanger myself. Like, really, I've been very, very, you know, isolated. I go to the store once or twice a day. There's a corner store, gas station I go to. The store freaks me out, because I know there's a bunch of construction workers at a condo site that go there. The construction business is still open. I don't know why. Like, I understand construction being open if it's like a hospital or something like you're building, but not a condo, right? So even when I go in the store, like I wear gloves. I don't touch anything. I don't wear a mask, but I tie like I look like a bank robber. I'm not wearing a surgical mask and stuff. I just literally tie like a black shirt around. Like I walk in, man. Like I literally look like a robber. The other day I had my hood on. I had my face covered. All you could see was my eyes a little bit. I don't want to breathe the air in there and stuff. And listen, I'm not going to freak myself out and be paranoid for the rest of my life or anything. But at the same point in time, you know, the Surgeon General of the United States basically stated that this week is going to be the Pearl Harbor moment. More people have already died than 9/11. And, you know, I see these jackasses jogging. Fine. Go, like, I don't understand, bro. You can jog at home. Get on a treadmill and jog. Run in one, stand in one spot and run in your place. Like, and like I said, they're like the supposed healthy people. There's all these people in shape and they're all like near each other. It's amazing. Like basically, like in New York City, it's crazy. The shutdown has worked. Like I've been in Manhattan. Like I go into the city a couple of times a week. Now our studio's not generally there, right? I used to go every day, but I'm right in between like the Meadowlands and Studio 34. And I can tell you, like Manhattan is a ghost town. Like there's no one out there besides the hustlers and homeless people. There are a lot of homeless people out there. Right. So the streets aren't as empty as people think, but they're all just homeless people sitting around the sidewalk and stuff. They got nowhere to go. But the one places that are busy are the parks and like the basketball courts and stuff. And that's where like healthier people go. Like, I don't understand. Like, who the hell would go play pickup basketball right now with like 10 strangers, 20 strangers? You're all touching the same ball. Like, it's amazing how stupid people are. And I don't care. Like, if you want to get it, get it. Like, you know what I mean? But the problem is these people get it and then they give it to other people and stuff and you don't even know. Right? If they would just get it and it was only them, it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't care. I'd say, go to the park, you stupid idiots. So my whole point is it's going to be tough. Like, people in America are not going to stay inside forever. And eventually they're going to snap and they're going to say, well, you know what? We've been in isolation for 8 weeks and it hasn't gotten better and it's not working. And screw that Fauci guy. And I'm with Trump. We need to get back to work. But the problem, if you do that and you don't listen, there's going to be a second wave, guys. All right. And the second wave can be worse than the first wave. And then you're not going to get anything. Like, it's one of these deals now. Listen. They're smarter than people than me that are on these task force, all right? But I'll tell you what. You rush things back to try to open up the economy, it's going to backfire. Because the economy won't be healthy anyways when everyone's scared and not even out and like half-assing, like forcing it back. And then ultimately, there'll be a second wind of this stuff that'll like wipe out the economy for real after. Like, basically, it's like taking the medicine. Like, you know what I mean? We've got to rip the Band-Aid off. Shut things down for 4 months, 6 months, whatever the hell it is. Flatten the damn curve. Get a vaccination out. And we can get back to normal life eventually. But if you just do everything patchwork-wise, it won't work. And I'll tell you what, you know, how this conversation started. I want to get to, like, sports and how the virus affects the sports world moving forward. And what needs to be done for these leagues to play, as in South Korea, they're trying to get their baseball league up and running right now. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the grid, the sports grid, Morency Unfiltered, the podcast that continues. We appreciate those of you who join us. We do some live tapings, actually, of this. So shout out to everyone who's tuned in to the live taping, and shout out to everybody who listens to the podcast as well. After the fact, Apple, iTunes, and, of course, Spotify. And even as I look out my window now, I see, like, I just saw, like, a pack of, like, six joggers running together. It's like, you know what? You guys all got tested this morning. You know, you're all good. You know, and that's where the challenge comes in to moving forward with sports. And listen, I see online a lot of people are betting on whatever they can get their hands on and stuff. And I don't mind betting on some weird soccer league. I'm not going to bet on, like, Belarusian handball just for the sake of it. Or I know there was some ping pong, aka, you know, slash table tennis going on. You know what's crazy? I've actually kept track of my record because there's not that many bets. It's hard to keep track of my bets normally because I bet so many games, you know, in a night, you know, halftime this and in-game that and everything. But since mainstream sports have shut down, and I think that was on March 11th, I'm 15-3. I've made 18 bets, and I've won 15 of them. I haven't made a bet since the Florida Derby, though. I've actually gone, it's 9 days. Pretty crazy. Like, my account is sort of, like, slowly going up. I bet, like, once a week on something. I'm like, you know, I need something real to bet on, though, right? So I see that NBA players are playing NBA basketball video games against each other, and people are betting on that. I can't do that. I can't do that. But something that's cool that I see they're doing as well is in NASCAR, they're having, like, races every week, like, wherever they would be at type thing, and they're racing, like, virtually. Except, you know, the NBA guys are all just sitting around smoking weed, having a good time, laughing it up, you know, playing video games. The NASCAR guys, like, they're fighting and stuff for real. Like, they're talking real shit to each other over in their headsets while they play. And Bubba Wallace, like, quit the game, and he ended up losing a sponsor. Like, it's actually real. So that has my interest, actually. But, you know, speaking of real leagues and stuff, so Belarus is, like, the one country that's, like, saying F you to coronavirus, and watch. In, like, 2 months, you're going to see they're all going to die of coronavirus. But so Belarus is, like, open for business, and they're holding, like, you know, their hockey league and their basketball league is still going on and all that. But it's not, you know, it's not really major stuff. They're pretty good at hockey, though. But South Korea. Now, listen, the South Korean basketball league is a decent league. It had a match-fixing scandal a couple of years ago. Yet, it, you know, the quality of basketball is pretty good, and I bet on it. So it's the one thing I do know international sports a hell of a lot more than the average person does. Why? Because I was a degenerate gambler that never slept. And, like, Japanese baseball comes on at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, Korean baseball, Australian basketball, soccer. Like, I know a lot of the foreign leagues pretty well from being a degenerate. The thing is, you can get yourself in trouble just, like, degenerately betting on foreign sports you know nothing about. So you got to pick and choose your leagues, all right? And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very, very, very good at Japanese baseball. I have a good feel for the Japanese baseball league, and I'm a very good underbetter in the Japanese baseball league. Japan's baseball is lower scoring. They play fundamental baseball. They don't hit a ton of home runs. The pitching's really good. They play great defense. You know what I mean? It's like, it's lower scoring than Major League Baseball. But Japanese baseball is extremely high level, all right? Like, it's really good. Now, the Korean Baseball League is not as good as the Japanese Baseball League. It isn't. Like in Asia, like even if like you're Korean and stuff and you're really good, like you could play in the Japanese, you know what I mean? Like the big league over there is the Japanese league. Not that the Koreans don't like baseball and not that they're not good at it. You know what I mean? And they have pride, you know what I'm saying? They've got a real league and stuff, but Japan is sort of Japan's number one out there. Yet Japan can't play right now. Japan has mismanaged the coronavirus like terribly. And in the sense that Japan didn't really believe in it. They didn't test people really. And they played dumb. Like, oh, we don't really have a lot of cases. It's like, yeah, because you didn't test people for it. And don't tell me that China has it and that South Korea has it, North Korea has it, and everyone in Asia has it, but somehow Japan never got it. So look, they had to cancel the Olympics. And so the Olympics are canceled. So Japan, they're not playing sports right now. They're not even trying. Like they didn't, you know what I mean? It's just not happening for them. They're trying to put the fire out that's about to start. So South Korea has handled this the best. Like out of any country in the world with coronavirus, the South Koreans were the ones that attacked it the best, the strongest, the most successfully. Like they didn't screw around. Like basically when South Korea had like 11 cases type thing, like they shut things down. They tested everybody essentially. You know, they didn't test every person in the country, but they were pretty aggressive in it. Like they made it for free and it was like, it was a drive-through. So it's like, come here, get a free test. And basically, you know, just goes to show how ahead of the curve they are as opposed to us in the Western world here. You know, within days, man, they had like free testing set up. The testing was instant. And basically it was within 24 hours, you go, you get the test and you go home and they tell you, don't leave your house for 24 hours. We're going to send you a message. And, you know, you get a text message. You either have it or you don't. If you don't, you can go back out, but be careful. If you have it, stay inside. And they identified people that had it right away. So, you know, we hear all this, you know, the expression all the time now, flatten the curve. They broke the curve. Like they snapped the curve in half. Ding, they just snapped it by isolating people right away. See, that's the problem now in North America and in the United States and Canada. There's people walking around with it that they don't even know they have it, right? It's not everyone that has it gets ultra sick, but it's pretty random and, you know, and it's not just old people. So, you know, I use the Skittles. I think the Skittles analogy is the best one because I've heard people say, oh, there's only if, you know, listen, in New York City, there's been like a 0.5, 0.7% death rate. Like there's a lot of people with it, right? And I think like 4,000 people have died, but there's a lot of people with coronavirus in New York City. Yet in New Orleans, in Louisiana, they have an over 3% death rate. Michigan is really bad too. So, and you put it in context. So imagine 3% or even 0.5%. Let me put it in those terms for you, for people that are doubters of this. So, oh, it's no big deal, coronavirus, just like the flu. Okay. So listen, I'm going to give you a bowl right now with 100 Skittles in the bowl. And three of them in Louisiana, I'm going to give you a bowl and three of these Skittles will kill you. Are you going to eat the 100 Skittles? Are you going to just pick and choose and say, I'll take my chance and randomly leave free? No, you would not eat. If someone told you, here's a bowl of 100 Skittles, you can eat them, but I just want to let you know, three of these are poison and will kill you. But the other 97 are good. You'll just get sick, but you won't die. Are you going to eat that bowl of Skittles? No. All right. And even like make it more micromanage it. All right, there's a bowl of 100 Skittles, and a half of one of those Skittles is going to kill you. So one of those Skittles will kill you. Are you going to eat the 100? You'll go, you know what? I don't want to take that chance. Right? Like, and I get it. There's risk in everything that we do in life, but not as contagious as this. Right? So I've heard people go on of car accidents, and oh, people die of this. Yeah, car accidents aren't contagious, okay? And my point is, to get back to normal, we need to flatten the curve for real. So South Korea was very, very aggressive in flattening the curve, and they still have it. It's not like it's gone, you know what I mean? But They flattened the curve. They begun scrimmaging baseball. All right. And on April 21st, they're going to begin their exhibition season. And it's going to be a shorter exhibition season. And they're going to get into the season. But they're – so basically they're playing. They're trying to open up their league now. And I was reading about their – like how are they doing it, right? Because obviously you're going to have to model this. Like if you're the NBA or any league, you're going to have to – all right, how are they doing it? They're smarter than us. How are they doing this? And it's ultra aggressive how they're doing this, guys. Basically, there's no fans. They're playing in a couple of stadiums. And every player that goes into the stadium is like thermally checked. Is thermally checked for temperature. If you don't feel well, you get tested. And basically they have tests that you can know the answer in 10 minutes. So basically, if someone shows up and they're like, oh, I don't feel well, man. I just suddenly got a fever. They're like, all right, test them. And they're like, all right, he's got it. And basically they know right away, all right, get him away from everyone, right? And there's been challenges. Like, you know, during one of the scrimmages, one of the guys didn't feel well. They shut it down. They sent everyone. They said, all right, stop scrimmage. You know, stop the game. And see, that's the thing. Like, there's going to have to be patience and stuff. And people would flip here in America with that. We don't have the patience of these people. Like, can you imagine if, like, oh, yeah, baseball's back. And then the Yankees are playing. And it's like, yeah, but we got to stop the game now. And we can't play for 5 days. Like South Korea is going through the trials of, like, all right, how do we do this and stuff? They're minimizing who touches the ball. They disinfect all the baseballs. They live in like these purifiers and stuff. Like they're going through, you know, they're going through great lengths to try to make it work. And even they have challenges with this. And the thing is, they seem just to be way, way ahead on the testing. Now, we can get into how poorly this is being managed, right? But the thing is, the NFL is smarter than the government. I'm just being real here, in a sense. You know what I mean? And I think the NFL, they're going to see how South Korea is doing this and use this as a model. Use this as a model. But it's constant testing, guys. It's constant testing. Like, it's constant testing in South Korea, like, to make this work. And let me just give you the exact, so, how they go about it. All right, so the Japanese Baseball League, they tried to play. They wanted to. They paused their season. But when they tried to come back, a bunch of players got coronavirus right away. And they realized, all right, we got to shut down. All right, so the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization, they've been streaming intra-squad games on YouTube right now. They're 2 weeks away from being the highest level sports league in the world that would play actual games and play their league. They're taking pride in it in South Korea. If anybody, the number one starting pitcher to the person cleaning the stadium security, R&D, anybody gets sick in that time, we postpone everything for 2 weeks. Said Dan Straley, who's playing over there right now, where he's playing for the Giants in Busan, South Korea. We've got to make sure that no one else gets sick. All right, I wanted to get into their testing about how they – to understand why Korean baseball might return before any other organized sport, must one understand day-to-day life in the coronavirus times. In a society that trades short-term personal liberties for safety, South Korea emphasizes public over self-rewards discipline and rallies on functional government policies that value the process and adhere to scientifical tenets. It is why, regardless of KBO's return date, it might provide a small roadmap for Major League Baseball and other American sports. All right. Preventing the coronavirus spread occupies every phase of life in Korea. Public life that is reasonable extent reopened, with a number of cases flattening. South Korea witnessed a sudden surge in COVID-19 before the end of February, was able to significantly lower and minimize the spread by the middle of March. The nation averaged 658 new cases from February 9 to March 5th. They averaged only 99 cases in a 25-day stretch. Look at America, guys. In 1 month, they went from 4 deaths to 10,000. By comparison, the U.S. has witnessed almost a steady rise in the amount of new cases in that same stretch, from as low as 329 to as high as 40,000 over the weekend, moving in on 50 right now. See, like, that's why it's not comparable. We're not as smart as them. Like, think about, like, look at this, guys. They dealt with this in 3 weeks. I know they're a smaller country, but they still dealt with it in 3 weeks. So they basically, anybody gets a fever, they get tested. Because they don't test the players every day. Like, if you're feeling well and you're good, like, everyone got tested, but you don't need to get tested every day, right? So, but the thing is, they've had to shut it down for weeks at a time already during this process. And as I was saying earlier, like, people won't have that patience here. So you almost have to wait till you can do it for real, real. You know? You got to do it for real, real. I think the NFL is going to play. Everything else is done. There's no way in hell there's NBA. There's no way in hell there's NHL or anything like this, like, as far as now, this season's playoffs or anything. On the plus side, the Raptors are still champions. But back-to-back, baby, 2 years running. But the NFL has the political support of Trump. The NFL has more money than the U.S. government does, essentially. Money's not an obstacle. Like, honestly, guys, the NFL will build a freaking city with a bubble and a stadium if they have to. Like, the NFL will hoard his thousands of tests. Like, they'll do whatever it takes. So that's, you know what? Normally we're pessimistic about these things. I'm going to leave you with a taste of optimism here. I think NFL football will be played with no fans and not in all cities. It'll be in a couple of states only, and they'll have to play a bunch of games. It's going to be unique, but I think the NFL will play, but with no fans. And, you know, listen, the governor of California already stated, I don't think I'm going to allow football here. And New Jersey's going to be in the same position. But we appreciate everybody tuning in. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to CheapCaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Service here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.